When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writing excuses.
You're invited to the Writing Excuses Cruise, an annual event for writers who want dedicated time to focus on honing their craft, connecting with their peers, and getting away from the grind of daily life. Join the full cast of Writing Excuses as we sail from Los Angeles aboard the Navigator of the Seas from September 19th through the 27th of 2024, with stops in Ensenada, Cabo San Lucas, and Mazatlan. The cruise offers seminars, exercises, and group sessions, an ideal blend of relaxation, learning, and writing, all while sailing the Mexican Riviera. For tickets and more information, visit writingexcuses.com/retreats.
Season 19, Episode 34. This is Writing Excuses.
Grants and Fellowships.
I'm Erin.
I'm Mary Robinette.
And I'm Dong Wan. So we wanted to do an episode talking about how to get grants and how to get fellowships. We've been getting a lot of questions on our Patreon about this over time. Erin has mentioned this on the podcast a couple of times, and it's a thing that I think about a lot. I'm fortunately not as informed about it as I would like to be, so this is a little bit of us grilling Erin about how to do this. But, you know, because of what I do and the friendships I have, I know a lot of people in the literary world as well, right, and who do more literary fiction. And I've noticed that many of them seem to sustain themselves going from residency to residency, going from fellowship to fellowship, and they're being able to fund their creative work through a lot of money that is coming through arts organizations, from the government, from a variety of sources. So, and I never see science fiction writers applying for these fellowships, even though clearly they would be able to get them, until I met Erin, who is very good at this. And every time I talk to Erin, she's off in Alaska or some other beautiful location writing in a cabin because somebody is sponsoring her to be there and to do that work. So I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about the grants and fellowships ecosystem and how to do your research and how to start applying for some of these.
Sure. Well, let me start by sort of grants and fellowships is like a kind of broad term for this whole ecosystem of getting money from people for being art. or doing art, whatever. And I tend to think of them as having like sort of three main types. One is where the people give you money, a fellowship that's just about supporting the work you've done so far. So this is the type of thing where they're like, send us your writing. You are a great writer. We just want to give you money to continue to produce art. There is no, you don't have to give it to us. You don't have to like turn it over. You could literally just sit and stare at the wall. We just want to make sure that you don't have to spend time working or doing other things. And we will just give you that money generally. And that is honestly the best kind. More people do that. Then we've got your project fellowship, project grant. That's when you go to somebody and say, I'm going to write this book, or I'm going to do this short story collection, and please give me money for this specific purpose. They usually expect you to then deliver that thing. They want you to have the book or the short story collection or some explanation of what you did with the time if you don't give it back to them. And then the third is residencies, which is when you go stay somewhere. Sometimes, usually, ideally, on somebody else's dime or for free, there are residencies that you can pay for, and it's like you get a discounted rate. So it's like you could go stay in the south of France for like $300 a week, which was much less than you would normally spend to stay there. And basically, residencies are a wide variety. Sometimes it's just you alone in the Mojave Desert. Literally just saw an application for that yesterday. Just in a hut. I hope you like yourself.
And how do I get that one? That sounds like my dream, to sit in the desert by myself. No one bothers me.
Exactly. And then there are the ones that you do where you're in your community. Like I was in Alaska a few months ago for Story Knife, which is one where you go up to Homer, Alaska. It's for women and women identified writers. And you, each person is in a cabin and there's six of you at a time and you get fed, which is lovely, so that you just focus on the writing. And often residencies don't ask you to produce something specific. Occasionally they'll want to see your work, but a lot of times they just want to put you in a location where you're away from your life and your normal responsibilities, and you could just go and write. So those are the kind of things that you can get.
Who is giving you money to do these things? Who's paying for this?
It really depends. So sometimes it's the government, as we like to say. The government has money for creativity because a country, city, state, province without art is not as cool. And people want their jurisdiction to be cool. So they put some money into arts funding. And so what they will do is they will say, you have to have lived in the state. So like there is usually a residency requirement. You can't get in a van and just drive from state to state getting their arts money. I mean, that would be great, but you can't. So instead, usually you have to live there for anywhere from a year to 5 years, depending on the place. And then you say, I have been doing so much to enrich the artistic life of insert your location here. Please give me money so that I may continue to do so. So sometimes it's it's the government of wherever you are. And then sometimes it's foundations of people who just love the arts. People who've made it in the arts and want to like pay it forward to the next generation, and they will want to give you all the monies.
My mom was an arts administrator, and that was one of the big things that she did was fundraising, mostly for grants, but also in order to be able to give fellowships to people. So they were getting money from the government, from things like the National Endowment for the Arts, but also for a lot of individual donors as well. And individual donors will sometimes then also set up their own little programs because either they are genuinely philanthropic or they need a tax break. And giving to the arts is one of the ways you can do that.
If you watch a lot of PBS programming, you'll see a lot of names that'll come up in these spheres over and over again. Certain foundations, certain arts organizations, and certain private donors like give a lot to support the arts in this country. And if it sounds crazy that the government will give you money to make art, please know that this is a recent change in that that has become less common now than it used to be. The NEA used to be a really amazing sponsor of a lot of artists, both visual arts and written arts in the country for decades and decades, right? It was an important part of how our government operated and how we made great art in this country. And many, many countries overseas, if you're in the UK, if you're in other parts of Western Europe, there's just an enormous amount of funding available for creatives who are trying to make art, and that the government will sponsor you to do that. So that still exists in this country. It is not as robust as it once was, but that doesn't mean it's gone away. Getting NEA money has become a little bit more difficult over the past few administrations, but it's still out there.
Well, and these organizations, the ones that give you the fellowships or the grants, kind of exist to serve as a bridge between people who are creating the art and the fancy people who have the money. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I can't go to a fancy person and say, hello, give me money to do this. But I can go to an organization, and that organization has a fundraiser whose job it is to go to places to get money from fancy people.
And also whose job it is to, like, evaluate, you know, because maybe you're like, I want to give money to great writers, but you're like, I don't really have time to determine who those great writers are. And I don't want to just give to the three people I know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give money to an organization that has, like, a panel of people who will judge the writing. And that actually is probably a good segue into, like, what do you even have to do? What are these people asking you for?
Oh, before we make that jump, though, I want to point out there's a fourth category, ooh, which is prizes, right?
Oh, yes.
These poetry organizations also run awards, usually annually, of who are the best writers, who's making the best work in this area, in this category, in this identity group, whatever it is. You know, there's plenty of organizations, and those often have money attached to those prizes as well. So that's another thing you can look out for, to submit your name for certain prizes, either locally, nationally, whatever it is.
That is very true. And it's funny because I've gotten prizes, but in my mind, I still think of them as fellowships. And so I always forget that that's an actual thing.
Yeah.
Poetry is also a field that does a lot of prizes, so including speculative poetry. So for my poetry people out there, there are a lot of poetry prizes where they actually publish your poetry, and then they also often give you money.
It is, unfortunately, the primary way to get a collection published these days is to win a prize. It is very hard to publish a collection of poetry through a press directly. Most poetry presses are funded in some way and are picking what they're publishing through these prizes.
The funny thing is, I knew that a little bit because of going to residencies, which is, I'll just give one plug for sort of group residencies, which are lovely, is that a lot of times they go across genres. So there's not really many, like, speculative fiction only residencies. But, you know, I was in residency with poets and then with literary fiction and with people who write essays and do academic writing. And so you learn a lot about other forms of writing, and then you can use it to kind of inform your own creative life, which is one reason that I absolutely love it. And is it time for a break?
It's a little early, but we can do it.
No, we will not break. Instead, we will talk, because it's going to take a second to talk a little bit about, what do people actually ask you for when you're going for a fellowship? And it really depends. I actually keep, shockingly to no one, a whole table that has all of, like, what each person needs. But a lot of times a writing sample is going to be the core of what you have to give. So you're going to have to give your best 20 pages, 25 pages is usually the limit of what you're going to have to do, which luckily is about the length maybe of a short story. Or if you're used to querying your novel, you're used to sending something that's like, here, this is my great work. That's the same type of thing that you can actually send on to a grant or to a fellowship to let them know, you know, this is who I am. This is what I write.
So when you're submitting a query, we always say first 10 pages, right? When you're doing a grant application, does it have to be the first 10 pages, or should it be a section somewhere else that you think is particularly, like, what are they looking for in that case? Do you know?
They're looking for something that's going to make them go, wow, this is great writing. Uh-huh. And so I think that it can be a section from anywhere in your novel. And you can even give a little bit of an explanation of where it comes from. But if it's really contextual, if you have, like, a piece where it's like, you really have to have read the first 50 pages to truly understand the genius of this moment, I would not send that, because they're not going to do it. So you really want something that's going to grab people. Almost the same way that when you pick something for reading, you really want to pick something that kind of starts strong, brings people in, ends at a really great point where people are thinking, oh, I'm really wondering what happens next, or I feel like I had a really satisfying experience, so that they're like, oh, I got this great bite-sized sample of this person's work, and I just want them to produce 1,000 more bites, and I will pay them for that.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. Yeah. And when we come back, let's talk about some of the more nuts and bolts of this process.
Let's do it.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Curious how successful people really made it? Tune in to hear from guests like Travis Mills, a true American hero, and Nate Checkitz, co-founder of Roan. We dive deep into their stories and lessons that shaped them, so you can skip the trial and error and get straight to the good stuff. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week, I want to tell you about a nonfiction book called Extreme Economies by Richard Davies. This book looks at what happens to economies at the margins of the modern world due to circumstances ranging from tsunamis to incarceration to the world's first digital state. Davies challenges conventional economic thinking, offering a glimpse into how extreme circumstances mold societies. For writers seeking inspiration but who are scared of economics, this is an easy and engaging read. I highly recommend Extreme Economies by Richard Davies.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, now that we're coming back from the break, I have a question for you, Aaron, which is, how do you begin to research these organizations? How do you know what's out there and what's your process look like to build your incredible spreadsheet that I know you have?
I will tell you that. But before I do, I just wanted to note that sadly, the writing sample alone is not the only thing that you may have to do if you are applying. The other thing is a personal statement. Now, this can be terrifying for people. This is where you try to sum up who you are as a writer, as an artist, in a page that will really go along with your writing sample. Ideally, two things that complement each other. Like, in your personal statement, you don't want to be like, I use comedy to really like underscore the hilarity of life. And then it's like a story about 8 ducks dying. Like, that's in a not funny way. So there's like, you want the two things to sort of complement each other and create like a really nice picture of who you are. And we can talk a little bit about techniques about that later, but how you research them is, I believe in really cheating off of other people's work. Not when I write, but when I apply for things. There are some great organizations, and we're going to like make a resource heavy liner notes for this so that you can have all the links and apply to all the things. But Creative Capital is a place that gives money to experimental artists. But something they also do is they actually publish every 2 months. Here are opportunities coming up for artists and writers to get money from people who are not us. So they do that. Philanthropy News Digest sends out RFP lists. Like, these are places you can send proposals to. And under arts, they have a lot of the big residencies and arts places that you can get money from.
An RFP is a request for proposal.
Yes. Sorry. I used to work in fundraising, which is how I found out about all of this stuff. Philanthropy News Digest has stuff. There is a person, a lovely person named Felicia, I can't remember her last name, who sends out every other week opportunities for people, both jobs and fellowships, through something which I cannot remember the name of, but she's a lovely person, and we will put her newsletter in the notes as well. So there's a lot of people who are out here compiling these lists for you and just sending them out to you. And the main thing is just keeping track of what do you want to do, what can you do, and when are the deadlines. And I will say that a lot of, for some reason, especially on the residency side of things, there's big deadlines usually in March and October. Those tend to be the seasons, like September, October, and like February, March, when a lot of people want stuff at the same time. So it's good to sort of think about that and try to be as ready for it as you can.
And that's pegged to the reporting schedules that they have to give back to the NEA, because if they're getting money from the federal government, they need to tell the government, hey, we fulfilled our grants, right? So generally, they're taking those applications so that they can report back, yes, we've given out X dollars, right? So when you're looking at applying for these things, keep in mind that they want you to apply. They need you to apply. Otherwise, they have to give that money back to the government, and they don't want to do that, right? Because that's also part of their operating expenses. So they are very eager for you to apply. They want you to do that. So really encouraging you to take this very seriously and throw your hat in the ring.
And one of the things to also recognize about this is that there's an extremely long, there's a long timeline.
Yes.
So this was one of the things when I was applying for grants when we were doing puppet theater, that you were applying for a grant, you know, now for a show that you were going to do in 2 years, often. That was this really long cycle. And frequently I will see people in science fiction and fantasy who are just trying to get grants for like a convention, be like, we're going to do something next week. I'm like, no, there's no window there.
Even with project proposals, for the ones that will say like, I want to get money to like write my short story collection, I wouldn't say like, and I've got 10 of the 12 stories done today, you know, because by the time they give you the grant, they figure you're done. A lot of times what you're pitching them is the project after the one you're currently working on. But you can pitch it like a dream. Like, they're not going to actually hold you to it and be like, you didn't put this specific element. It's really about painting a picture of what it is that you do think you would like to write. What could you do if you had unlimited resources? What could you do if you had time to do it? And then just put that dream on paper. Because a lot of what you're trying to do, like, I know, guys, y'all, like, grants and fellowships can sound really dry. But what you're doing is you are building a dream of what you wish your creative life could be, and then giving that dream to someone else, selling it to someone else, and saying, invest in my dream, dream this with me. And so what you want to be doing when you're writing up these things is saying, like, it's not just, I want to write a story about a robot. It's that I want to explore the way that robots really make us understand our humanity in a different way. That's something that moves me, and it's something that should move you. So that even if I write a different story, you know that it's coming out of this place that's really exciting and really makes you think differently about the world.
One of the things that grant givers will often be looking for is what they call impact, which is, what are the ripple effects from giving this grant to someone? And so if it's like, we can give this grant to this person and it's going to make their life better, that's great. But if there's someone who's writing and caliber is the same, and you can see, oh, this is going to have these ripple effects where it's going to affect these different communities, that person is going to weight higher because they have more impact. And that, because they do have a limited amount of money, so they want the most impact for the dollar.
And it can be a little scary, because I think we're used to thinking about the next story and the next book and not thinking about you as like the product and you as an artist. But I actually think whether or not you apply, you know, to a grant or a fellowship, it's really nice to think about, what are you doing? Like, look at the stories that you've written, the things that interest you, the media you're looking at. What is it about storytelling, the way that you tell stories, that's different than everybody else? What is it that draws your eye, or that would draw other people to you? And I think that's a beautiful thing that you get a chance to do in an artist statement, is to think about yourself that way.
Yeah, totally. And it's really interesting because, you know, for publishing, we don't ask for an artist statement. We don't ask for that kind of personal statement. But it's what I'm looking for. It's what I'm trying to figure out when I'm reading your query, when I'm reading your work, is what's your whole deal? Why are you doing this, right? And that's an important question for me, is understanding what is your impact? Why are you trying to do this, right? And so learning to articulate that in an explicit way will help you communicate that when you are approaching the publishing process, because that's a big part of your story. And so much of publishing well is being good at telling your story in addition to here's what the book is, right? So learning to pitch yourself for the grants process is very similar to learning to pitch yourself for the publishing process.
And for the convention process. I was thinking like the other time that you're asked to write a paragraph of who you are and what you can talk about is a lot of times if you're trying to be part of a convention, they'll ask you for like, what could you speak about? Like, where should we put you on panels? And being able to do that in a compelling way can help you get selected for panels and for things, which is a, like just a great part if that's something that you're into in your career.
So what are some red flags to look for when you're looking at considering applying for a grant or especially applying for a residency? What are things that make you go, ooh, maybe not this one, right? Or maybe they've all gone well, right? Maybe this isn't a big concern as much as it can be when you're trying to find an agent or a publisher, right? But I have to imagine not all arts organizations are created equal, right?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, just like know yourself a little bit. Like, I don't know that I want to spend 3 months in the Mojave Desert alone. And applying for things just because they're there is like not the best. You know, you can always challenge yourself. But if you're like, I don't know how I would do with solitude in a residency, maybe apply for a 1 week alone residency and see how it goes, or spend a week in your house alone without talking to anybody and say, did that work for me? You know, there's one residency that I'm afraid of called Back to Basics in Finland, where for 2 months you just go hang out and you're not allowed to use your phone or Wi-Fi at all. And I know many people.
I'll see you guys in 2 months. Peace.
Yeah.
Who are like, yes. And I'm like, nah. Like, I think I'd want to check my email.
Yeah, I'm like, I cannot even imagine you without constant access.
Exactly. So part of it's like, know the type of experiences that you want to have. I think one of the things that can happen, same thing with publishing, is you're so used to asking.
Yeah.
You want to ask that when somebody says yes, you think, I've got to go. But sometimes it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
So I also Google it. I try to look at like other people who have gone. Do they seem depressed after? No. But like, do they afterwards, all their Instagram pictures are through a sad filter. But what does it look like to be there? Is it something that seems reputable? Are you going to be alone or with other people? What are they asking you for? Is there money involved that you have to turn over? And then also trying to find them through reputable places. I'll also list in the liner notes, there's like an alliance of residential programs that kind of is like an overshooting body of a lot of these organizations. And so they sometimes know, like, you know, if somebody writes you an email, like, I've got a cabin, come stay for free. You know, check maybe if they're on that.
Axe murderer or philanthropy. To tell sometimes.
Two sides of the same coin. So, you know, check to see if they're on lists or if anybody else has ever done it that you know of. That's also a way to tell, by the way, sorry for the slight ramble, if you qualify. Because sometimes they use confusing language. Mm-hmm. For example, early career artist. There's a fellowship out of Princeton and one out of Radcliffe where they basically give you $90,000 in a year to just be an artist. Sounds great. And it's for early career. But if you look at who's gotten it, it's like so-and-so who's on their third book, which is still early, but like maybe not as early as you might have thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you went to apply. Like, so it's nice to see who's gotten it, what kind of writing they're doing, to see, are you falling into sort of the realm of what the other people are doing. You can throw as many applications as you'd like in, and a lot of them are now waiving their application fees if you don't have the money for it. But I think it's always good to, like, you know, line up your application with the general idea of what they're looking for, which I think is really a really good thing to do.
I do actually want to mention application fees, because that can be another red flag. If you look at their funding model and they're not getting any funding from outside sources and it's all coming from application fees, that is a scam and do not apply for that. An application fee in and of itself is not a red flag, because there is administrative expenses. And honestly, sometimes people have application fees just to keep people from applying. It's a form of gatekeeping so that they are not inundated. It's like, oh, are you serious about this? Or are you just filling it out because it's a form on the internet? So, but if their funding model has no donors, if there's no, like, if they don't have any other income source, or if the amount of prize that they're going to award is like, look at the ratio between how big the fee is. It's like, you have to pay $100 to apply for this prize, and we're going to give out a $500 prize. Scam.
Yeah, exactly.
Scam.
Yeah.
What is your best experience with this process, right? Whether it was a grant or a prize or a residency, what was the thing that when you think about it, you're like, yeah, this was worth it. I loved doing this.
Well, it's hard because in honesty, in all truth, they're all great. I love money from everyone. Thank you. don't hate me, people who aren't mentioned. But I think that the residency experiences that I've had, one at Hedgebrook and one at Story Knife, have been amazing. Hedgebrook is just off. It's on Whidbey Island near Seattle. Story Knife is in Alaska. And I think for me, there's something amazing about being in community with other writers in a really, when there's no expectations and they also feed you. Like the food alone is a good reason to go. But I think it's also a way to get away from your life and to also say to yourself, I am a writer in a very concrete way. I think, you know, you can get a grant or fellowship or a prize and it's amazing, but there's something about living the I am a writer life with other people and saying like, oh, we're all creatives living together and talking about the things that you're interested in. I mean, it's the same reason I love writing excuses. Getting a chance to talk about writing with other people who are knowledgeable and smart and amazing, and also free food. So that is, I think those have been standouts for me. I will say, like, I'm going to just acknowledge right now that there's a lot of privilege in being able to take the time away from your life to participate in a residency. Mm-hmm. Some of them are a week or 2 weeks, a month. There are some that are whole years long if you really want to get away from your life. So it's not for everyone and everyone can't do it. But for me, it's been really beneficial. And I would say that if you get money from someone and you might be able to create your own residency, like for yourself, maybe you could get a grant or a fellowship and then say, what I'm going to do is rent a cheap Airbnb in my town or, you know, and then get away and like use that to get a babysitter so that I can write at this period of time. So I do think there's something nice about taking those types of opportunities and using them to say, I am a writer and I write.
Thank you so much for explaining all this to us, walking us through the process. That has been really helpful for me, just understanding a little bit more. But before we go, I believe you have a little bit of homework for our listeners.
I do have some homework, and it's not going to be a shock. I want you to write a personal artistic statement, just a paragraph of who you are as an artist. And actually, I'm just going to throw this out there without getting permission from anyone like our producer. But I would love to see some of these. Like, if y'all want to share out with us on social media or through our Patreon, like, share who you are as an artist and let us celebrate you and celebrate, you know, the artist that you are and the artist that you will continue to be.
I would love to see those. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, let's put some of those in the newsletter too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Aaron Roberts, and Dong Wan Song. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.